Taka, man, very good to be with you this morning, and very emotional, I think, for me. I think just seeing what the Lord's doing with you guys here in Milnerton. For those of you who have not met before, my name is Luke. I actually live down the road. We walked here, actually, my family, to church this morning. And I think our hearts speak for Zanz and myself, my wife Zandile over there. Are very invested in you guys, because for many of you, we walk a long journey. And I was reminded of this scripture this morning. I'll read it for you. We won't have it, unfortunately, on the screen, but it's Paul speaking to Timothy, and he says, "We parted with tears when we left." And I remember reading that this morning, and it was just my devotional this morning. And I was prepping for here, and I remember, we did. we did. We parted with tears. I want to actually read it for you. You'll have to trust me that it is in the Bible, I promise. 2 Timothy chapter 1. He says, "I long to see you again, for I remember your tears as we parted. And I will be filled with joy when we are together again." Isn't that special, hey? And he says, "I remember," and this is what I remember also. "I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother." And he talks about her and the multi generations of inheritance. And he says, "This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I first laid hands on you." And so for those of you who don't know me from before, I promise you won't be excluded from this morning, but I can't help but just share a little bit of the joy that I have. And it's not just my joy, it's the joy of Jesus himself that he has in you for the genuine faith, the genuine love, and the genuine joy that you have in the Lord. I remember my topic this morning, you can put it up, is spiritual inheritance. And that's really what I want to speak about this morning, is spiritual inheritance. But you almost can't speak about spiritual inheritance without talking about children. Because inheritance is something that you get from your parents, right? When your parents die, you inherit what they left to you. I remember when I first got saved, I was an absolute mess. And I encountered Jesus, and I was working a night shift, and I didn't have much to do on my night shift. I was the manager, and I would go into the little office, and I would close the door. And because I was so surprised that I had found Jesus, I'd been looking for him for so long and so broken and so desperate, I just used to read my Bible and worship and weep. For hours sometimes. They'd come and knock on the door when the shift was done for me to go and take them home. And I'd have to wipe my face, wipe my tears, and try and make myself look like some sort of managerial position and go out. And I remember having a very ambitious friend who was spiritually very ambitious. He wanted to change the whole world for Jesus. And him and I were friends, and we used to talk. And so he used to have so many dreams about what he wanted to do with his life. And then he would say to me, like, "Luke, what are your dreams? What are your aspirations? What do you want to do with your life?" And I remember just sort of saying, I mean, I haven't gotten past the fact that Jesus loves me and I love him. And I'm so surprised. Like, he's incredible. He's amazing. His presence is just... And I hadn't really had time to think about my future or my dreams or what God wanted to do with my life. I was just completely overwhelmed with the goodness of God, and I was just quite content to just worship him and weep and pray and read my Bible for the rest of my life. I didn't feel like I needed more than that. But as I walked with the Lord, I did begin to discover God actually did want to do some things with my life. I was like, "Oh, wow, this is amazing. I get to have Jesus and also do some cool stuff with my life." And God started speaking to me about inheritance. And it's taken me many, many years to actually get an understanding of, like, what is this inheritance, you know? What is this inheritance that Christ have for me? And I share with you what I, my little understanding of what inheritance is. My inheritance is that I get to share in the joy of what God has done in you. Isn't that beautiful? I get to share in the joy of what God has done in you. Something of what Jesus did in me, he's doing in you. And something of what God has done in me has passed on to others. And that is my joy. And that for me is the greatest joy this life has to offer. There is nothing sweeter than seeing devotion and love for Jesus being reproduced in other people. I promise you, if you've not yet experienced it, it doesn't get better than that. Paul would speak about his inheritance, and he would say, you know what? My crown and my joy is you. And when I first read that as a young believer, I was like, what on earth does that mean? But I now get it. It's seeing what the devotion and infatuation with this beautiful person of Jesus being reproduced in other people. And this morning, I just sometimes get prompted by the Lord that this person has got a word, or this person's got a word, or this person's got a song. And for the first time in my life, well, in Namile's life, my daughter, she's 6. While I was making breakfast, I felt the Lord say, I want you to ask Namile, my 6-year-old, what the Lord has laid on her heart for this congregation. And I was like, you know, your natural mind, you're like, Lord, she's 6. You know what I mean? And she thought about it. She said, okay, I'll pray about it. And it wasn't even 30 seconds. And she said, I think I've got a message for this congregation, Dad. And so I got my pen and my paper, and she shared it with me. And I thought she was going to say something like, you know, Jesus just loves them or something. But this is what she said. She said, you mustn't stop all the hard work. The more that you stop the hard work, the more accidents happen. And I was thinking, that was the Lord. That's not something that a 6-year-old would know. I mean, as she said it, there's a whole bunch of scriptures that sprang to mind of like, you know, persevere till the end. And I thought of David, and when he was on the hill, he was on his palace, he was on the roof of his palace while all his warriors went to war. And because he was resting and not doing what God called him to, he fell into sin and he almost lost his entire inheritance because he should have been at war. And so it's true what she said. She doesn't know anything about this. She's never heard this, but she said, the more you stop from the work that the Lord's called you to do, the more accidents happen. I was like, wow, that's the Lord. But you know what? The joy that I have, that she is hearing the Lord, it is incalculable. And that's just physical. It's not just physical. When you've got spiritual inheritance in other people, it's the most precious joy that you can enjoy, that you can experience. Young people worshiping the Lord passionately and living lives of devotion, I used to think it was cute. Now I don't. It's not cute. It's significant, because I have lived in Josh Gen long enough to see those cute little young believers grow up to go further than I've gone. To do mighty exploits for the Lord. And it was cute. It's not cute anymore. It's serious business now, you know. And many of you that are even sitting here this morning, I'm friends with your parents. And initially when you got saved, it was very cute, but it's not cute anymore. It's a force to be reckoned with in the kingdom. Amen? I was asked once to pray the prayer of salvation with a young black man in Sunningdale congregation who had smuggled himself across the border, and he was hustling in South Africa trying to make a better life for himself. Young black man. And he responded to the gospel on a Sunday morning, and someone asked me to go and pray with him. And I went and I prayed with him. And he had such a sincere, pure love for Jesus. And he joined my home group. And I used to do Bible studies with him in his home. Just him and I, we'd just open the Word together. And he would get so full with the Holy Spirit. And he would get so pumped. And he's an evangelist. And I remember him one day saying, Luke, this is too good, man. I'm going to go back to my country and I'm going to start a church and I'm going to share this stuff. And I remember thinking, oh, that's cute. That's very cute. So, you know, doesn't even know what he doesn't know. Do you know what he did? He did exactly that. First, he started a congregation in his township here in South Africa, which is still going. And then he went back to his country and he started a church which he is currently leading. And I'm just like, that's why I say it's not cute anymore to me. It's like, it's powerful. That is an inheritance in the Lord. Our inheritance in the Lord is that we get to share this precious gift of Jesus with others and see them to grow up in the Lord. Amen? And so I want to put up Romans chapter 8. You can put up on the slide and talk about inheritance. This is talking about us as sons of God. Generally, when we think of us being children of God, certain topics spring to mind. We generally think of the fact that now that I am God's child, I have a special relationship with Him. I used to be His enemy. Now is the most beautifully intimate relationship that I could ever have. That's generally what we think of when we think of ourselves as children of God, which is all true. This passage says, the Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may also share in His glory, and I would add there, and we share in His joy. We share in His joy. The delighting that He has as at children coming to know God and being saved. And so there's this principle that the Lord wants to impart to us this morning, that because you are a child of God, you share in the kingdom with Jesus. Can I just say, like, if you have any sense of a poverty spirit, that you feel like you're a nobody in this life, that you feel like that you, because of your background, because of your family, that you've got a struggle ahead of you, can I say, you are a co-heir with Christ. That means that all that God has is coming your way. That should banish any poverty spirit very far from here. Whatever Jesus is going to inherit, you're going to inherit with Him. Another scripture puts it differently. You can put it in Luke. I'll just read the last part. It contrasts getting caught up with the things that the people of this world get caught up with. They set their hearts on what they will eat or drink. Do not worry about these things. The pagans run after all such things. Your Father knows that you need them, but seek His kingdom, and these things will be added to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, Jesus says, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. We have an inheritance in the kingdom, and the inheritance is you. The person next to you is your inheritance. We inherit in the saints because that's Jesus' inheritance. What is Jesus' inheritance? It's us. He shares that inheritance with us and we get to share in His joy. I want to look at a few people from the Old Testament and learn some lessons from them and their inheritance. Because I feel like there's a few things the Lord wants to say in terms of warnings and encouragements with regards to your inheritance. And we can learn lessons from them. Oftentimes when we get saved, we think that the only inheritance that we have is heaven. One day when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. But you can put up that scripture in 1 Corinthians 3. It should be the next slide. Speaks about a builder coming into heaven. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet he will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. So some of us, well, hopefully not too many of us, will get into heaven, and when we shake each other's hand, you'll remember each other, but the one will smell a bit smoky. And that is because If you live your whole life, you spend all your energies on things which are temporary, that are not eternal. If you invest all your emotion, all your money, all your time into your work and into earthly accomplishments and the things that the pagans chase after, you may still be saved and get to heaven. But all those things are burn up with the rest of the earth. And you yourself come into heaven smelling a little bit smoky, but still saved. Which would be beautiful, but what a tragic thing that would be, that your whole life, your whole inheritance from this life, the only thing that will last into eternity is the person sitting next to you. Lives whom Jesus has purchased. That's the only thing eternal that's sitting here in this room or on this planet. People are what survive into the next age. And so there's a couple of people that we can look at from the Old Testament who, for some reason or other, didn't inherit the fullness of what God had for them. The most famous example is probably Esau. He sold his inheritance not for a lamb chop that just came off of the braai, or a ribeye steak, which a South African might have begrudged him for. He sold it for lentil stew. Now, if you're in Constantia, that might be something you'd be willing to sacrifice your whole spiritual inheritance for. No judgment on anyone that's from Constantia. But. And so, in Hebrews, you know the story, hey? So, his brother, Jacob, was very ambitious for his inheritance. But Esau was the older brother. And as the older brother, his inheritance, when their father died, was supposed to be double what his younger brother would inherit. It was a literal inheritance, right? And his brother Jacob was very ambitious for his older brother's inheritance. And so he was always trying to connive it out of his brother somehow. And funny enough, Esau, the older brother, he took his inheritance for granted. He didn't cherish it. And so one day he came back from a hunt. He had been hunting for some wild game and he didn't find anything. He didn't shoot anything. He came home empty-handed and he came home very bitter and frustrated. And his brother was making some stew, vegetarian stew, which for some reason or other he found very, very enticing. And his brother said to him, "I'll give you some food if you'll give me your birthright." And you think, what a dumb thing to give your birthright away for. But in a moment of frustration, a moment of not counting precious what God had given to him, he sold it to his brother for a pot of stew. And it might sound like easy to judge Esau for what he's doing, but here in the New Testament it says, "See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son." Afterwards, as you know, when he wanted to inherit this blessing, he was rejected. Even though he sought the blessing with tears, he could not change what had been done. Speaks here about sexual immorality, that through sexual immorality, you could sacrifice your inheritance. We'll speak more about that later, but I felt just the Holy Spirit mentioning here, what about job offers? What about God's given you an inheritance in the saints, in the place where he's called you to be, and you get a job offer in Johannesburg or somewhere else that's exotic? And you think to yourself, that's a bad example, I agree with you. We can't offend everyone from Constantia and Joburg at the same time, can we? Precious, precious souls in Johannesburg. But how many times I've seen a young men and women with incredible inheritance that got a job offer they couldn't refuse. And they'll say things like, "Yeah, but there's also a 412 church in Johannesburg." It's like, yes, that's not the point. Point is, you won't lose your salvation. But what if the Lord has called you to an inheritance in these people here with you? And for a pot of lentils, you'll sacrifice that inheritance. You may not lose your salvation, but that's not the point. I want more than just my... I don't want to just get into heaven smelling like smoke. I want to come in with an inheritance of a delighting in the people that God has impacted through my life. Amen? How precious is your spiritual inheritance to you? Don't despise it. Don't despise it. It's a precious thing. The Lord has given you an inheritance. Are you concerned about temporary things or eternal things? Jesus said, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Store up treasures in heaven. The second person I want to mention is Saul. Saul didn't have his inheritance. He didn't sell it. But he had his inheritance taken away by God himself. And God gave Saul's inheritance to a man who was more worthy, the man who was after his own heart. Saul's pitfall was that he worried too much about the recognition of men. That's a sobering word. How easy is it to be so concerned about titles, spiritual titles even, in the church, and the praise of people, and whether I'm the flavor of the month or not, or whether my star is rising or falling. The Lord will test you on these things. How do I know? He's tested me on these things. Sometimes you're the flavor of the month. Sometimes everybody forgets you. That Jesus said, what you do in the private place. We said, when you pray, close the door. When you give, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. What you do because of your love for Jesus is what's pleasing to the Lord. When Samuel came to rebuke Saul, he was actually erecting a monument of himself for everyone to appreciate and enjoy. I wonder where that monument is now today. I mean, probably buried under 10 feet of dirt. And so what people think of me or what people remember of me, it means absolutely zero. It's the inheritance that we have in reproducing our love for Jesus, our devotion to Christ in others. That's what will last. Don't let the praises of people become a snare to you. Don't let ambition become a snare to you. It makes no difference what your title is in the church or in the world. Do it for Jesus. Do it for the honor of Christ. What about Samson? This is an interesting one because sometimes we think that our gift is for me. It isn't. Your gift is not for you. Samson had a gift. It wasn't for him. It was for Israel. Israel was being oppressed, badly treated, abused by the Philistines. God gave Samson a gift so that he could relieve an oppressed people from their abusers. And he wasted his gift. Samson was conquered by a Philistine woman who was beautiful. He was conquered by lust. He wasn't conquered by an army with spears and swords and shields. He was conquered by his lust for a beautiful woman. And I want to say to you, that's not just Old Testament. That happens right now in the New Covenant as well. Don't pursue lust. Don't pursue romantic relationships that are going to cost you your inheritance. It's not just about you, friends. It's about us. God's put a gift in you for us. And if you sacrifice your inheritance by pursuing a romantic interest, yes, it's going to cost you, but it's going to cost us. We need you. We need you to win your tests. We need you to win your battle with lusts. We need you to conquer the distractions that sometimes come, that often come, in the form of romantic interests. It's serious. I know it often feels private. It's not private. It's for Jesus. It's for the kingdom. It's for us. I want to say, be careful who you marry. Sometimes we want to be married so badly, we forget that who we marry can determine whether you walk in the fullness of your inheritance or not. The person that you're with, do they push you towards Christ? Do they push you further for Jesus? Does the relationship with them make your devotion and your passion for Jesus just go so much further? Or do they pull you away from Christ? Do they pull you into the temptations and the carnal things of this life? Ask yourself, evaluate yourself in the Lord. Amen? I should have got a lot more amens for that one. It's very quiet in here. Very quiet in here. Don't ask me why I'm looking at you. I want to give an encouragement to the moms here. That scripture that I read earlier, I want to read it again in 2 Timothy. Not that one. Oh, there we go. It's not even in the slide. You found it independently of the slide. So this is Paul writing to Timothy. And he says, Timothy was an apostle, by the way, a heavy hitter in the kingdom. And Paul says to him, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Friends, our inheritance is multi-generational. As you serve your children, as you minister to them, as you love them, as you teach them to love Jesus the way you love Jesus, your inheritance is in shaping a life to love Christ. And who knows what the Lord will do through that precious life. Amen? If you're a children's worker, don't despise the inheritance that you have in sharing your passion for Jesus in those children. That's multi-generations. You won't even be able to calculate or even necessarily see the lasting legacy that you are leaving with those children. And if you don't have biological children, that's not something to fret about. There are more spiritual children in this one room over here that we're sitting in right now than you could ever have enough time to mother or to father or to love or nurture or care. I think of even my own mother and the legacy that she leaves in me. You'll never know what lasting impressions my mom has left in me. You won't even begin to be able to see it, but it's there. I have the same love for Jesus that my mom had. My mom died a very painful death. I read the last diary entry in her journal, and it was filled with worship and love and adoration for Jesus. I don't even know the legacy that she's left in me. So I want to say, don't despise the children that you love, whether they're adults or not. The children that you love and nurture and nourish in the Lord. And so I want to say to you, fan into flame the gift of God that He's put in your life. Don't take for granted the gifts that the Lord has put in you. Don't take for granted the dreams that the Lord has spoken over you. Don't take it for granted. It's a precious thing. You know, one of the things that the Lord spoke over my life, my name means light. My name means, or it implies, light bringer. God's called me to be someone that imparts joy and hope. Ironically, that's the one thing that Satan has gone after hardest in my life, because he knows he's trying to snuff out that light. But here's the thing. What has he spoken over you? What's your spiritual name? What's he called you to? What's the inheritance that the Lord has bestowed on you? There's some aspect of his nature that he's imparted to you. And it's precious. It's beautiful. Fan it into flame. Don't forget it. Don't let Satan steal your inheritance from you. Don't let him discourage you out of what God has called you to. I feel like there's people in this place who once walked in the ways of the Lord, but you've grown discouraged and frustrated. And you're not walking in the inheritance that God's called you to. I feel like the Lord wants to restore that to you. Amen? It's not too late. It's not too late. And I want to say, if you're young in the Lord and you're walking passionately for Jesus, don't let Satan distract you. Don't let him hustle you out of your inheritance in the kingdom. Fight for it. Fight for your inheritance. Pass your tests. Run your race till the end. It's great to start well, but finish well. Finish well. Amen? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for the inheritance that you've chosen to share with us. to share in the joy of seeing others come to know you the way we have, to see Christ formed in others. Thank you for the joy. I want to pray for every precious person here in this place. Lord, may they live to see the joy of seeing others come to know you the way that they do. May they pass their tests, Lord. May they live to see their children, their grandchildren, spiritually or biologically, walking in the fullness of devotion and passion and love for Jesus. I'd love to just pray for a few people, but before I do, I just want to release a few words from some of the spiritual children of mine from City Bowl. Maybe, Karine, why don't you come share that word? While you're coming up, maybe Ethan, come up as well.
Hey everyone, as I was driving here this morning, I was listening to a song called Honest Offering, and it like the words Honest Offering kept in some of the lines they say this is my honest offering, would you take my heart as it is, and I just felt like you don't need to wait to come to the Lord. Like, you bring your heart as it is, as an honest offering in whatever state it is. And then the other part was, sorry, it's a song, so I need to play it in my head first. And then the other part says, Jesus, you love every broken piece of an honest offering. And Jesus loves your broken pieces, however it comes. Yeah, so just to encourage you, to just bring your broken heart, however it is. And I've got the faith to pray for whoever's trying to come with a packaged heart.
So just remember that word when we pray for one another just now. If you're feeling like your life is shattered, it's broken, I don't have anything to give, Jesus is saying to you this morning, just bring what you have. Even if it's pieces, bring it. He'll bring it. He'll restore it. Where's Ethan?
Good day to you all. Good day. The Lord laid Romans 12, verse 2 on my heart. And it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And as we were praying in the prayer meeting about, there were pictures of clay and stuff, and I noticed how this scripture really like encapsulates the picture of clay and us being molded by God. When we conform to the patterns of the world, we become really dry. It's like we're clay left out in the sun, and we lack that spiritual water to make us moldable again. But Paul is writing to the Romans saying, do not conform to the patterns of the world, because that's what will happen to you. And the beautiful part is, yay, I was getting so excited. The beautiful part is that we're transformed by the renewal of our mind. Like, as the Lord Spirit, as the Holy Spirit enters us, it being him being the living water, he transforms us and we become moldable again. We just easily, like, I didn't get a distinction in English, so it gets a little tough. Yes, we become malleable, and the Lord literally shapes us into the people that he intended us to be. And it was really beautiful to see that there, and I just want to pray over that. Lord Jesus, I just pray that you do your work. I pray that we humble ourselves so that we may become instruments to be used by your marvelous hands. Father God, I just pray that we receive that refining fire, Like it may be painful, it may burn, but it leaves long lasting benefits, and that benefit is just you. And yeah, I pray we wholeheartedly seek you and receive you. I pray this in your mighty name, by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.
Just felt the Holy Spirit stir me for us to pray for Ethan. Reverse card, eh? Uno.
Brother, you are on such a fast track in the Lord. What is going on with you? God, thank you for what you're doing in Ethan's life. You've grabbed him, and you are just putting into him. And God, we pray nothing will ever stop what it is that you are doing in this man's life. No glass ceiling, no distraction. You are going to be, Ethan, so powerfully used by God. I'm sitting there, and you're sharing, and I'm seeing God all over you, and we can all see that. And it's the work of the Lord. Father, I pray that you would train and that you would bolster whatever that is lacking, and you're doing it, God, and bolster where he's strong, but also fill him where he is lacking. God, I pray that he would have relationships of divine appointment, that there'd be people around him that you would place to make sure that he walks in everything that you want him to walk in. And Ethan, there's going to be a time where you're going to walk in the footsteps of others that are walking in the footsteps of God. But there will be a time, I don't know when it is, that you will walk in the footsteps of God yourself. And I don't know how long it's going to be, but for now, walk in the footsteps of others. And there are people around you that are strategically placed. And you need to just listen and do it. And it's all God. And it's how he works. But there'll be a time where you'll walk in the footsteps of God yourself. And you yourself will say, follow me as I do God as well.
Amen. Cool. One last word I want to just release is Kaliswa. Maybe you could come share.
Hi, everyone. I'm just going to check on whatever I sent to Luke. So as I was praying last night, God led me to John 5, where he heals the man by the pool. And what really stood out for me is that he was there for over 30 years. And there was no healing. So, and for me, it's like, as the congregation, like there are people who've been here for maybe over a year or a long period, and they've been in the same place and they haven't found healing, and the Lord wants to make you well. Like because when he released the person and he says, you are now well, so like he wants to heal all the wounds, and he wants you to stay in and seek him more, and like walk with people, but also go to God on yourself and on your own and seek him, because we need, like, people need to encounter Jesus by themselves, and by then God is going to heal you when you encounter Jesus by yourself.
So I'd love to just pray for us, and we can respond and pray for one another as well, but just maybe we can close eyes. I just never want to miss an opportunity. If you are here this morning, maybe you came with a friend, or maybe you've been visiting for a few times, and you actually have not yet been born again yourself. That scripture that we read says that it's the children of God that inherit with Christ. And to become a child of God doesn't mean that you go to church. It doesn't mean that you have Christian parents. To be a child of God means that you yourself put your faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, there's no other way to the Father but through me. And it's through faith in Jesus that your sins are forgiven. It's through faith in Jesus, your faith, not the faith of others, that enables you to encounter the power, the resurrection power of Jesus through the Holy Spirit. And I would love to just pray with you. If you have walked with the Lord before and you've maybe lost your way and you need to come back, I'd love to pray with you. Or if you've never walked with the Lord, if you've never been born again and you need to receive forgiveness, reconciliation with God, I'd love to pray with you as well. So maybe if that is you, not to embarrass you, our eyes are closed, but I'd love for us to pray with you to receive Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. If that is you, don't you want to just slip up your hand wherever you're sitting right here? Not to embarrass you, just slip up your hand and I'd love to get just one or two people together around you and pray with you to receive Jesus and to be born again. Wonderful, wonderful. I see your hand. Maybe if one or two of the leaders could just gather around those two gentlemen. If you could do just whoever stands sitting close by, just gather around those two gentlemen. Wonderful. Just as they respond, maybe we can all pray together. Can we do that out loud? Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Would you forgive me my sins? Would you wash me clean? Would you make me new in Jesus' name? Would you fill me with your Holy Spirit? Would you adopt me into your family? Would you lead me by your Spirit until the day I come home to you? In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, amen. Maybe we could just... you can just continue to pray with those guys. But it just feels like it would be a good time for us to pray for one another as well. I'm going to make a few specific calls for prayer. But if I don't mention you and there's something specific the Lord put on your heart, don't let me exclude you from some prayer. Amen? But I did feel like that word that Karine shared of shattered jars, lives that have been broken, and you feel like, man, how can I have an inheritance in the Lord, but I'm just a shattered jar? I can't even hold the pieces together. I feel like it would be wonderful to pray with you. So when we do respond, you can stand for that, and we'd love to pray with you. But I also feel like there's some older believers here. Somebody mentioned the man in the that kept been sitting by the well for a long time. He needed a touch from Jesus. If you're an older believer and you need a touch from Jesus, again, to make you new, restore you, restore your inheritance, restore your soul. Would love to pray with you. And then if you, last person category, if you are a younger believer and you have just recently been going through some serious tests, and as I was speaking, you're like, yep, I've been tested on that, even recently. Temptation to sell your inheritance through compromise. I'd love for us to pray for you as well. Amen? So why don't we stand? Those who want to pray, stand. Otherwise, we won't know who to pray for. Those who would like some prayer.
Sorry, I just want to... I feel like there's one more response. In worship, Roxy and Adam had similar words. And it comes down to we placing ourselves in specific boxes, or putting chains around ourselves, and we don't know how to get out of it. And what Adam felt is, as we put God in His right place, He will break those boxes. And I do feel like there's faith in this room for people to get out of situations that they've potentially placed themselves in. It might be the relationships that Luke was referring to. It might be financial situations. It might be realities of life, but there is an opportunity this morning for us to come into freedom by laying on our hands, people coming around us. So, yeah, if that's you, please also stand and we can come around you in prayer.
So let's just gather around these guys. If you're nearby, the leaders and the friends and whoever else is keen to pray, let's just come around and pray. Ask them what they want prayer for. And let's pray for one another.